and lots of giveaways.
Log on to our website, ogvegas.com, for all WWE event dates and times.
There's more to see at the OG.
The new home for the wise guys on the net is LVRocks.com. That's LV as in Las Vegas, R-O-C-K-S.com, LVRocks.com. Listen to the Wise Guys show on the web from noon to 2 at LVRocks.com.
The following is a live LV Rocks original webcast. Visit LVRocks.com for studio cam and live chat room. Originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.
And welcome back to another edition of Subject to Discussion Live in LVRocks.com. I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. You can call me anything you want, just do not call me late for dinner. And if it's Tuesday night in Las Vegas, it's Subject to Discussion time. And the program, of course, is podcasted over on LVRocks.com as well. Thank you very much. And that was the Centurion in charge of production, Mr. Consoler. Thank you very much. And the program is also archived over on the program is also archived over on SpankWagon.net, and they're on every Friday night, followed by King Hesh. And the website is subject2discussion.com. And what else? Well, tonight I was going to have bring back the politics segment, but then this is a news event erupted in Chicago. So, brilliant idea is going to bring on a blogger from Chicago, talk about what's going on there. But then at the last minute, he said he won't be able to make it. So, so much for a timely program. But anyway, before I get to the news to me and the news to you, I'll talk about this subway fire. This, of course, is courtesy of the ChicagoTribune.com. And they have a story about that broke a couple hours ago. 8:51 Central Daylight Time, and of course it's two hours later, so it's 9 o'clock there. But it happened after 5 o'clock local time in Chicago, that a fire on a CTA Blue Line L train forces evacuations. They call it the L train in Chicago, those of you who don't know, because most of the L train is elevated. It's over the streets of the city. You go down downtown Chicago, and the subway tracks are over your head and everything, and down by the old Comiskey Park. We used to ride around it when we were kids, just because it was like a cheap ride, a couple of bucks to ride around the whole city, and it was like a monorail. And it up in the tracks around the old Comiskey Park, and go into the area kind of near the homes, the housing projects, and things like that. And the Blue Line runs from Chicago O'Hare, the international airport, into the downtown Chicago. And once it gets into the city limits, it goes underground. And it runs from, the Blue Line runs kind of close to the, I can't remember really quite all the areas where it stops, but gets around to the James Thompson Center, which is this eyesore of a building they built a few years ago and named it after the former governor of Illinois. And apparently there, a train jumped the tracks. Here's the story. An O'Hare-bound blue train that had just exited the loop derailed shortly after 5 p.m. Tuesday and sparked a fire, prompting the evacuation of scores of people who had to navigate through the smoke-filled subway, officials said. CTA, which is Chicago Transit Authority President, Frank Crucy, said that the last car of an 8-car northbound train derailed around 5:09 p.m., shortly after leaving the Clark Lake Station. Crucy says he believes that elements of the train caught on fire. And what else? Police Superintendent Phil Klein said there's no evidence of suspicious activity was involved in the accident. There is no indication of foul play at this time. Apparently, 120 people were taken to area hospitals. Only two were listed in serious condition. Dozens of firefighters responded to the scene. A lot of these people had to come up through these emergency escape hatches they have in these tunnels, which are by sidewalks. So it's like meaning like portholes. You had to climb up out of that in the dark of night in those tunnels. So And I'll stay go on here. It says, as of 6:40 p.m., the Blue Line had been shut down in both directions from its Damon and Racine stations, which is kind of hub of the L system in Chicago. So it's going to affect their rush hour tomorrow. And this happened right in the middle, towards the end of their rush hour in Chicago, which starts about 3:30, 4 o'clock. Emergency officials twice swept the tunnel, and a third sweep was underway to ensure no one was trapped in the tunnel or on the train. As of 8:30 p.m. local time in Chicago, the CTA was slowly restoring service on the Blue Line. I heard you talking about the service. The service on the O'Hare branch was operating between Damon and O'Hare stations. The Blue Line service on the Forest Park branch was operating, blah, blah, blah. Forest Park is an old suburb outside of the city as well. Washington LaSalle, talking about the bus. They offered the CTA scrambled to get bus service available to shuttle people around from where they were going. A lot of people use that coming in from O'Hare to downtown Chicago to go to the hotels. It's kind of a cheap way to avoid paying those big exorbitant taxi fares into the city. And also the Metro train was honoring CTA fare as well, so that's pretty good. And a number 656 Milwaukee bus is another option for customers. So, but other than that, and let's see anything else going on. I'm on WGN's website now, which is the world's greatest newspaper, and it's also owned by Tribune Broadcasting. Yeah, they don't say too much. Fire in the Blue Line train, and they have a picture of Tom Skilling on there. Tom Skilling is known as the weatherman at WGN, and he's the brother of the other Skilling that's tied up in that Enron mess. So that's interesting. So, and then also I'll move on to that. Anybody has any updates on that fire in the subway of Chicago? You can call in if you want, because we're gonna have this whole hour talk about news since I scratched the last guest for this one. It's 702-383-8120. And any updates about the L fire in Chicago, you can let us know. Or anything that's news to you that I'm not going to cover, or anything that's from your area you think the listeners will be interested in. This is from today's Las Vegas Review Journal. Spending initiative in limbo. The Secretary of State here in Nevada, Dean Heller, declined money to decide whether a petition to limit the growth of spending by state and local governments should be placed on November ballot. Although far more than people signed the petition and required, blah, blah, blah. Apparently there's a typo on this petition. I might throw the whole thing out the window. Let's see here. The one-word error, according to the two calculations by AFL-CIO, would allow spending, state spending to increase by $1.3 billion more than intended. So there's a typo that will allow the state to increase the spending that by $1.3 billion. So they're all upset about that. They might just throw it out. And also they talk about the, where we are here, heart attack. A state official who was running for office had a heart attack and apparently is now in a coma. Kathy Augustine, who is a state controller, remained in a critical condition Monday in the intensive care unit at Washoe Medical Center, which is up in northern Nevada in Reno, Carson City to be more exact, after a massive heart attack in her Reno home. Her husband found Augustine, 50 years old, lying unconscious in bed Saturday morning, blah, blah, blah. And she was running for, in her office, what was it now? She was running for treasurer. She was running for treasurer. Right now she was the controller. So, and what else? So, and then in the Nevada section of the Las Vegas Review Journal, they talk about the witness disputes, police encounters a shooting. Convenience store shooting the other night, and a witness to the brief confrontation ended with the Las Vegas police firing 29 shots at an armed domestic violence suspect Sunday evening is contradicting the police account of the killing. The man's mother, however, says she thinks her 43-year-old son, who she said was suffering from cancer, wanted police to shoot him. It's one of those, suicide by cop probably stories. And also they have the story about the team starts a parks sweep. They're starting to sweep the city parks to get rid of the homeless. And what else? Blah, blah, blah. And then in the USA Today, they talk about, of course, they had a home run derby in Pittsburgh for the All-Star Game, which is the second year in a row the All-Star Game has been held in a National League stadium. It used to alternate every other year. But the last two stadiums are brand new, so they decided to give it to Pittsburgh right after the last one from last year. And price soars for cancer drugs. Average is nearly $1,600 a month, according to USA Today. And also talking about the All-Star Game, about the home run derby. Why so many home runs? Fans are saying it's drug use. Players offer different theories. And what else? On the bottom, it talks about fairs freshen up to broaden the appeal. How state fairs are adding more events targeted to youth to bring in a more younger crowd. and also to have this on a snapshot, taking care of self. States with the highest percentage of men 50 years and older who had a prostate-specific antigen, which is a PSA test, in the previous year. Florida leads the country at 61% of those getting tested for the PSA. And in Delaware, is 59%. Connecticut is 57.5%. New Jersey, 57.4%. And Georgia, 57.3%. Nevada is like one of the lowest states for healthcare testing, healthcare anything. So, and the governor is asleep at the switch. And what else? And in the Living a Life section of USA Today, talk about Pirates of the Caribbean blowing holes in the box office records. $135.6 million debut weekend for Pirates of the Caribbean, and the third one's going to come out next year. So, and also, they talk about on the side about Sally Field. She's going to be in that new soap with Calista Flockhart, playing the mother of five children on ABC drama Brothers and Sisters. She's replacing Betty Buckley from A Is Enough, so they're getting rid of her and bringing Sally Field. And then Peter McNichol from Numbers, and also from, Ally McBeal. He's going to be joining the cast of 24. So, what else? Blah, blah, blah. Okay. And then we'll get to the news to you. And anything in the chat room going on here? Let me see. Who's in there? We had, from CNN, dozens of commuters taken to hospitals. Ah, very good. Yes, the hospitals will be overwhelmed in Chicago now. And this is also from today, from Billings, Montana. Young driver rams a Billings store. This is from Tuesday. Police in Billings say inexperienced driving is to blame for an accident at Blockbuster Video in the Heights Monday afternoon. He must have been late returning his video in or something. Police say the teenage driver was pulling into a parking spot in front of the store when she apparently hit the gas instead of the brakes. The girl did have a learner's permit. Obviously, she learned too much then. No one was hurt in the accident, and the Blockbuster store remained open. It must have been a little drive-through window she created for them. So, and what else? Drawdown planned. This is also from today. Drawdown. Now, she still get charged for the late fee for turning that movie in, or what? I don't know. Drawdown planned at Heart Butte Dam in Bismarck, North Dakota on Tuesday. The Bureau of Reclamation is planning water releases from the Heart Butte Dam because of drought and operational requirements of the dam. The dam is on Lake Toshita, south of Glen Ulin. Beginning this week, releases from the Heart Butte Dam are expected to drop water levels at Lake Toshita about 1/10 of a foot or more a day. They did that here at Vegas at the Hoover Dam. They opened up the dam a few times to raise the levels in the river and also help with supposedly with the wildlife down there, the animals or the fish or whatever it was. The agency says continued drought conditions in Grant and surrounding counties are forcing the drawdown. The official said the rapid change in water levels could potentially create hazards for boaters and individuals. Blah, blah, blah. No kidding. And also from today, we had rogue giants at sea. Scientists find swells more frequent than we expected. It's from AOL News. The storm was nothing special. Its waves rocked the Norwegian dawn just enough so that bartenders on the cruise ship turned to the usual palliative, free drinks. Then off the coast of Georgia early Saturday on April 16th, a giant seven-story wave appeared out of nowhere. It crashed into the bow and sent deck chairs flying, smashed windows, raced as high as the 10th deck, flooded 62 cabins, injured four passengers, and sowed a widespread fear and panic. Ew, cripe. Hope they got a refund for that tour company, the cruise ship. Enormous waves that sweep the ocean are traditionally called rogue waves, implying that they have a kind of freakish rarity. Over the decades, skeptical oceanographers have doubted their existence and tend to lump them together with sightings of mermaids and sea monsters. And what about the movie with, what the hell's his name, George Clooney? He was going to get hit with the monster wave. But scientists are now finding that these giants of the sea are far more common and destructive than once imagined, prompting a rush of new studies and research projects. So the goals are to better tally them, understand why they form, explore the possibility of forecasts, and learn how to better protect ships, oil platforms, and people. So they say the stakes are high. In the past two decades, freak waves are suspected of sinking dozens of big ships and taking hundreds of lives. Oh, those freak waves, you know, those freaks out there, you know what I'm saying? And also from today, we had this from Frostburg, Maryland. A pharmacist charged with trading painkillers for sex. I wonder if this is involved with Rush Limbaugh or not, you know?
Holy cow!
Ladies and gentlemen, state police said a pharmacist traded OxyContin and other prescription painkillers for sex. Authorities said Thomas Bolt, the owner of the medicine shop in Frostburg, is free on $25,000 bond after he was arrested Thursday at a Grantsville hotel. Police said the doctor gave OxyContin to an undercover female state police trooper and another woman at the hotel. The police said the arrest capped a two-month investigation. Bolt was charged with distribution of OxyContin and possession with the intent to distribute OxyContin, oxycodone, and whatever the hell that drug is. I don't know. P-E-R-C-O-C-E-T. Percocet, I guess? I don't know.
Percocet.
How do you know this?
And it's codeine.
Something you want to tell us? You can confess.
It's codeine and Percocet.
Nobody's listening. Okay. It was like Centurion. Centurion say painkillers. Yeah, you know, I got to keep up with the Colonials attacking them, so they need to take painkillers every now and then. And also from Omaha, Nebraska, babysitter accused of sexual assault. These stories make you sick, but then you wonder where the parents are at.
You sick son of a bitch! You just bitch, you twisted bastard, ragged hell, I died! You son of a bitch, you bastard!
James Main, 60 years old, of Omaha, was booked on 4 counts of sexual assault.
He's doing something to his ass.
Yeah.
He's not kicking his ass, but he's definitely doing something to his ass.
Yeah, but who would hire a 60-year-old babysitter to begin with? I don't know. According to Omaha police, Maine was babysitting the children when the incidents occurred. Oh, no kidding. The alleged victims' ages are 4, 5, 7, and 9 years old. Horrible. Horrible. Horrible.
You are one pathetic loser.
What else is going on in the chat room? GLZ is saying from NBC, 8 blasts struck during Bombay's busy evening rush hour Tuesday, killing 147 people and wounding hundreds in a well-coordinated terror attack in the heart. Oh, it's from Mumbai, which used to be called Bombay. They changed the name of the city. New York City increased its transit security Tuesday with hundreds more officers patrolling the subways. That's good. I imagine we'll be doing that in Chicago, too, just out of knee-jerk reaction. Also from today, from Fort Pierce, Florida, the clerk attacks boy for not buying yo-yo.
Jihad!
Police said a convenience store clerk is being held without bail on suspicion of attacking a boy in Fort Pierce, Florida, for not buying a yo-yo. Omar Shrita is charged with attempted murder. Oh, my God. Attempted murder. False imprisonment. Police said he was working at the Friendly's Meat and Grocery Store Monday morning when the 14-year-old Jeremias Howard came in with his sister. As the girl browsed for snacks, Howard allegedly played with a yo-yo. Is that what they're calling it now? Police said that after the girl paid for the items, Howard put down the toy and tried to leave the store. They say Sharita demanded the boy pay for the yo-yo, but Howard told him it was already open and he didn't want it, and authorities say that Sharita then punched the boy. Investigators allege he pulled the teenager behind the counter and stabbed him on the back of his arm with a butcher knife. Another clerk tried to stop Sharita and suffered a serious wound to his right forearm. The teen was treated and released. Sharita is currently in police custody. Good grief. I don't know. Heard of stores refusing the service, I guess. It doesn't mean you could stab them to death, you know. Also from today, from WGN, the world's greatest newspaper in Chicago, mom charged with a child abandonment, held on bond. Boy was left at Taste of Chicago. A mother accused of abandoning her 6-year-old son at the Taste of Chicago was ordered held on bond Monday. Police say she admits doing nothing to find the boy for more than a week. After he was found alone in Grant Park, the boy's father is trying to gain custody is a loss to explain what happened. Well, the mother is a lunatic, and she left her kid in a damn Taste of Chicago. What the hell else is that? Easy to figure that out. The boy is found alone at the Taste of Chicago on June 30th. His mother turned herself into police on Saturday. The last time Michael Green Sr., the father, saw his son was at the Taste of Chicago last year. He is not sure if the child's mother considered that when she allegedly abandoned the boy at Taste of Chicago on June 30th. Considered that when she allegedly... What the hell? This thing doesn't make sense. The boy's father talked about where he has been and what he wanted, blah, blah, blah. So apparently, this is not the first time that the mother has put her son in harm's way. In April 2003, she herself called DCFS and said she was emotionally unstable and feared she would hurt the boy. He was taken into protective custody. And blah. And then in September of last year, a friend called police saying Campbell left the boy home alone while she worked at while she was at work. So, but the boy's father said by coincidence he was at the Taste of Chicago the same day this mother's accused of abandoning her son. So nothing there about where the father was all this time, but it's unbelievable. Taste of Chicago is a big, big event every year in the city. All these restaurants and food vendors from around the city and the suburbs come out, and you could buy tickets. And I don't know, it's a big moneymaker, because first of all, you pay a ticket to get in the damn thing. Then you go up to these places and you have to pay more money to buy the damn food. And it's the food from the restaurants, but you're walking around with paper cups and paper plates, and it's like, what, you pay, it's $20 a person to get in. Then it's another $6 for this rib, and then $3 for this French fry or whatever it is, and then of course $6 for a Coke. It's ridiculous. It starts adding up there, but it's a pretty good time. Now usually have some good entertainment there. First one of the year anyway, it was called Chicago Fest, and Frank Sinatra performed on Navy Pier. That was memorable. And what else? Also from Tuesday, from the chat room from CNN. Bush heralds improved deficit figures. The White House Tuesday touted new deficit figures. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? His projections were sky high to begin with. his projections were $462 billion or whatever it is, and then it turned out to be like $297 billion. They cooked those projections sky high so it'll make the economy look like it's doing gangbusters. That's what that's all about. And what else? And then I was on of all places, this sci-fi.com. Board and are arguing back and forth about the New York Times and all that. Should we have, what kind of free press should we have? I mean, I checked the Constitution. One of the protections in the Constitution is to a free press. Granted, it shouldn't give out state secrets or plans, but who's going to decide what they're giving out is wrong? I mean, the reaction to that is don't buy the damn newspaper, write the letter to the editor. I mean, you want Cheney and Bush to be editing the New York Times? I don't. I hope they go at it with the New York Times. Let them, fight it, slug it out. I think the New York Times will come up on top. Hopefully the Constitution is a little more stronger than the Bush administration's hurt feelings over their, crazy schemes getting unfolded. So, anyway, and what else? Are you going to say something? No. You're here enough to say something. And then, foreign creature. Wait a minute. Where am I here? Speaking of Bush, no. Foreign creature found in Cherry Creek Reservoir. This is This is in Denver. Also from today, an Aurora man has quite a fish story to tell his grandchildren. Bernice Jones was fishing in the Cherry Creek Reservoir with a friend this morning when he reeled in a fish he'd never seen before. At first, he was told it was a piranha. Jones took the fish to four different bait shops before someone identified it as a piranha. Uh-oh. We had a piranha story last week, too. But he didn't. That's good thing music, though. They did a marathon on that Twilight Zone a couple weeks ago. But he didn't believe them, so someone took it to the Colorado Division of Wildlife, where it was identified as a pacu, P-A-C-U, pacu. A pacu is a South American tropical fish from the same general family as a piranha, although not nearly as ferocious. The Department of Wildlife said, while the pacu eats mainly plants, it doesn't belong in the Cherry Creek Reservoir. No kidding. Wildlife officials say it is likely the fish outgrew someone's aquarium and they unloaded it in the reservoir, which is illegal. So it is. Similar story to last week. A piranha was found in some water up in North Dakota, I think it was. And what else? Also for Monday, from Greenwood, Indiana, a distribution center to bring hundreds of jobs. I want to have one for me over there. I don't know. Governor Mitch Daniels is joining Greenwood officials on Monday for the grand opening of a distribution center that is bringing about 300 jobs to the area. Skincare products manufacturer Arbon International announced in early May they plan to put a new distribution center in Greenwood. The Indiana location is the second center for Arbon, which is also has a warehouse in California. People's Republic of California, isn't it? Company officials said they might eventually increase to as many 600 jobs, depending upon sales. Johnson County, which is generally a farming community, they had some plants there, but they lost a lot of the plants over the last 3 years. They lost about 1,300 jobs in 3 years, which is not big for some cities, but for that town, it's packs a wallop. Arbon, they say their business grew at 165% in 2005. So, and also for Monday, from Kuala Lumpur, train kills father and son at the same spot. A train has run down and killed a man at just the spot where his father met the same fate 8 months previously. The 34-year-old man, V. Marathi, was cut in half when a moving train hit him early Friday in the northern Malaysian town of Ipoh. Let's change it to iPod, maybe, the Star reported. His father, N. Veerapan, 64, died at the same spot last November when he crawled under a train he was thought was stationary. The hell. My father used that track as a shortcut to his friend's house. The paper quoted the V. Chandran, a brother of the bachelor, the former bachelor. He's a forever a bachelor. Brother of the bachelor marathon.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
Yeah, that's weird, huh? His son gets killed in the same spot by the same accident that his father
does
was?
That suck.
Yeah. And another odd one from Rome, Italy. A man dies hoisting flag for World Cup final. A 77-year-old Italian man. He fell. I don't know. A 77-year-old Italian man fell off a ladder and died as he tried to attach Italy's flag to a pole. Yeah. Ahead of Saturday's World Cup final against France. The man, Rodolfo Profili, was raising the flag on a patch of land he owned near the central Italian city of Viterbo when he apparently lost his balance and fell 8 meters into a precipice. Is that a pit? Does that mean? Italian news agency ANSA reported. ANSA quoted local police saying the man died instantly, still clutching the flag. So, let me see. They won, didn't they? No, France won, right? Whoever won that damn World Cup. I think France won, right? Rome won. Rome, Italy won, right? Whoever. The Cylons won, didn't they? The White Sox won the World Cup. I don't think they're going to win the World Series this year, but anyway. Where are we at here? Also, the NFL All-Star game's going on as we speak, too. Let me see. Massive Big Dig panels crush woman to death on Tuesday. And that's from Boston. 3-ton concrete panels fell from the ceiling of Boston's Big Dig Tunnel, killing a woman in a car and shutting down part of the troubled project along busy Interstate 90. Any responsible party will be held accountable for what happened, said Massachusetts Turnpike Authority, blah, blah, blah. This is an unacceptable, horrible tragedy. No kidding. I think the Turnpike will have a new name on now. I think it'll be named after that lady after her family gets done suing the hell out of them. And also from today, from Muckwanago, Wisconsin. Man dies after being stunned by a police taser. What's with these taser stories? What, that clown about a week or two ago that was accidentally shot and he was supposed to be tasered? And an autopsy was scheduled to be performed Monday on the body of a 29-year-old mentally ill. There it is. BSG fan PT says, I used to live right by Cherry Creek Reservoir. Wow. See, come here to get the news from around the country. An autopsy was scheduled to be performed Monday on the body of 29-year-old mentally ill Muckwanago man who died Sunday after police shot him with a taser gun. Nicholas Syra suffered from a paranoid schizophrenia. Pardon me. According to his father, Chet Cyrus, Cyrus said during a psychotic episode Saturday, his son wandered away from home. Nicholas Cyrus turned up early Sunday morning, half naked, in a home under construction. The homeowner called the town of Muckwanago police after he discovered a man inside the home. Village of Muckwanago police, village of Muckwanago officer also responded to the call. Cyrus's father says his son was shocked twice by the stun guns, once in the back when he turned to walk away from the police, and then once when police could not get him in the handcuffs. And his father said there was blood coming out of his mouth and he was dead. Cyrus said the police knew his son suffered from mental illness. He said they knew he wasn't armed and wasn't a threat. They knew he was dealing with dealing with a mentally disabled person. I don't know. If he's causing a disturbance, what the hell? I mean, they got to subdue him somehow. Oh, because he's mental, we'll just let him go. And, what the hell? I mean, he's performing a crime. You got to stop him somehow. I'll let the poor thing go. He's only damaging somebody's private property. Let the insurance company pay for it. And then we all end up paying for it. And, I was reading this WGN here. What is this? Mancow is done with what? Let's see here. Mancow, of course, the local in Chicago. He's made a big name in Chicago, but Mancow's done with Q101. It's just not what it used to be. Today was the last time Mancow will wake you up in Q101. The final live airing of DJ Eric Mankel Muller and his morning manhouse was Tuesday. Q101, general manager, blah, blah, blah. It's just not what it used to be, said the Shaq Jack's morning radio show. I felt a little bad, blah, blah, blah. So he's never tried to be in there, stern in the making and just never really did it too well. And some woman was pleads not guilty for stalking Bob Uecker. Bob Uecker, of course, is the famous announcer for the Milwaukee Brewers. A woman pleaded not guilty Tuesday to a felony charge of stalking Hall of Fame announcer Bob Uecker. I'm going to sit in the front row, right? An attorney for Ann Ladd, 45, whatever she's related to Cheryl Ladd, entered the plea at a preliminary hearing in Milwaukee County Circuit Court. Ladd of Prospect Heights, Illinois, waived her right to give testimony at the hearing. Case was bound over for trial, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Bob Uecker, the voice of the Brewers for more than 35 years, did not attend the hearing. Uecker has been seeking a restraining order against a woman whom he claims has been stalking him for 6 or 7 years, sending unwanted gifts and appearing at ballparks and hotels throughout the country. Wow, amazing. So, Bob Uecker. Good for him. Remember, he was on Mr. Belvedere all those years ago. And what else? Nine is also from Monday, and nine Miss Florida contestants hospitalized after bout with diarrhea and nausea. And this is from Monday, Miami, Florida. Nine contestants in the Miss Florida beauty pageant went to a hospital for treatment Tuesday evening after complaining of diarrhea and nausea. The contestants were staying at the Hilton near Miami International Airport. Miami-Dade fire rescue officials said the contestants might have eaten some undercooked chicken from a nearby restaurant the day before. Two of the contestants were admitted at South Miami Hospital overnight for observation. The other seven were treated and released. Two volunteers at the pageant were also treated and released. The contestants were in town for the pageant being held at the Miami-Dade County Auditorium. So, I think that's called food poisoning, isn't it? Not diarrhea, nausea, it's food poisoning. So, I remember when I worked at my first hotel in Chicago, we had a food poisoning outbreak at the dinner theater next door to us. It was over Mother's Day. They serve chicken and all that family style. And next 2 days later, everybody's coming down with food poisoning. So I ended up shutting down the dinner theater for a couple months there to clean up the kitchen and everything else. So that was pretty amazing. And also Monday, we also had this from Two Die and Wrong Way Collision from Lansing, Kansas. How could this happen? 2006. How do people not know they're going down the wrong way in the highway ramp? How do you not know? Two people died Sunday night in a wrong-way head-on crash near Lansing. The accident reported at about 9:30 p.m. Highway Patrol troopers said the driver of a red pickup was heading north in the southbound lanes of Kansas Highway 7 and crashed into an SUV. The driver of the pickup... The driver of the pickup and a passenger in the SUV were killed. Two other people were rushed to the hospital. The crash is under investigation. The investigation itself, idiotness of the idiot who went down the ramp the wrong way. Yeah. And what else? Monday also from Shawnee, Kansas. with the John saying that about the beauty queen story, that's hot. I thought beauty queens don't poop. Yeah, they lost about 10 pounds when they did that, I think. Let's see here. And let's see. Also for money from Shawnee, Kansas. A girl says man licked her leg at cinema. Police are searching for a man accused of licking a girl's leg. He must have thought it was chicken leg or something. I don't know. Girls like in a movie theater. KNBC's, that's a reporter. Police said a 9-year-old girl what was she doing in a theater by herself to begin with? Went to the Trail Ridge Cinema with her parents Saturday night. The girl went to one movie and her parents went to another screening. The girl told the police that during the movie, a strange man crawled on the floor over to her and licked her leg.
It's time to abort your whole friggin' species. Yeah.
The girl then ran and found her parents. The girl said that she had seen the man earlier, but she did not know him. The man is not in custody. He was described as between 18 and 25, a short blonde hair, and he was wearing glasses. So, I don't know. Crazy. Crazy people. Yeah, and the parents letting their kid go into the screening by herself, you know? Stupid.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
Yeah. And also for Monday from Baldwin, Missouri, five drowned while waiting in Merrimack River. five youngsters, four of them siblings, drowned in a river during a church outing. Apparently, after one child became caught in the undertow, the others jumped in to help, authorities said.
And alcohol is bad.
A sixth child pulled from the water was hospitalized. Witnesses said the children ages 10 to 17 were swept away in the Merrimack River Sunday evening at the Castlewood State Park. Six were part of a group of about 50 youngsters with the St. Louis Dream Center.
You want to get stoned?
They'll get stoned after this. The mother is going to be delirious. The victims were four boys, Ryan, Damon, Brian, Deandra, and a 13-year-old girl, Dana Johnson. All the children except Deandra had the same mother, Edris Moore, and all are from St. Louis, Missouri. So, terrible. Terrible. Going to church and five of your kids are died. Horrible. And also for Monday, from Ellison Bay, Wisconsin, two dead after a blast in Wisconsin resorts. At least one explosion damaged three buildings in this resort community early Monday, killing two people and sending seven others to hospitals. The blast struck a grocery store, a cottage, and a maintenance building that contained living quarters in Ellison Bay. In Ellison Bay on the Door County Peninsula. That's what I talked about a couple weeks ago. It's that resort area, Door County Peninsula, that juts into Lake Michigan. Investigators had not pinpointed the cause of the blast, but suspected a propane gas leak was involved. A contractor from Wisconsin Public Service Corporation had worked in the area, blah, blah, blah. Said company spokesman. So a contractor for the Wisconsin Public Services Corp had been working, so they may have been involved in this mess. Some are speculating the contractor may have damaged underground propane lines. No kidding. Ellison Bay is about 65 miles northeast of Green Bay. So, of course, home of the Packers. And also from Miami, back to Miami. This is a stupid story. Man calls an airline threat to stop wife's departure. Officers responded to a report that a woman on an Air France plane was a danger to other passengers, only to end up arresting her husband for making a false report to the police.
You are stuck on stupid.
Yeah, no kidding. Police were called to Miami International Airport after they received a call from a man who said his wife was a threat to the safety of the plane. The flight was delayed, and officers removed the man's wife. She is a Lebanese. You're not far off. She's a Lebanese citizen, and told detectives... she was flying to France and then back to Lebanon after telling her husband that she wanted a divorce. Detective said that Nader, this is the husband, detective said that she showed them bruises and she claimed were from her husband hitting and pushing her. The woman's husband, Jean-Marc Bollinger, arrived at the airport with a 17-month-old daughter. He at first told detectives that his wife was angry about the arrest of a Lebanese citizen in a terrorist plot, and that she had said Americans deserve what they will get. What? And we'll get more. I don't know. Good wacko. And they admitted that his wife had not made any threats against the plane. After questioning, detectives said they determined Bollinger made up the story about their threat to try to keep his wife from leaving on the flight. So that's stupid. And I heard a story before, like a year ago. Some clown was late for his... there goes the DC-10, or whatever it is. They make those anymore? Wow. She's not going back there now, I don't think. I remember a few years ago, somebody was late for their flight. And what did they do? They called in a threat to the airport and shut down the airport so the plane wouldn't leave so he would make his flight in time. Stupid. People do that all the time. And they always have people trying to get, at the Rio, whatever, I switch hotels. And they anyway, you can get me past the security checkpoint. What? Are you kidding? This is a big fancy hotel. You should be able to get me through the security check. I'm late for my flight. Are you out of your mind? The hotels don't own the airports. You got to go through the security no matter who you are. And what else? Teen who cut off corpse's head to make bong sentence. Oh, that's a new one. From Monday, from St.
What in the name of corn on the cob is going on around here?
Well, that's from St. Johnsbury, Vermont. A Vermont teenager has been sentenced to prison for breaking into a tomb and cutting off the head of a corpse. Uh-oh. Wow. And Nicholas Buckaloo, 18, of Morrisville, Vermont, pleaded guilty to two charges One was a felony count of intentionally removing or injuring a tombstone. The other was a felony charge of intentionally disinterring and carrying away the remains of a human body.
You son of a bitch! You just made your twisted bastard running hell and die! You son of a bitch! You bastard!
I agree completely this time. Buckaloo was sentenced to between 1 and 7 years in prison and was given a credit for serving 14 months while awaiting trial. On April 8, 2005, Buckaloo broke into a tomb, opened the lid of a casket, and cut off the head of a corpse. He stole eyeglasses and a bow tie from the dead man, and then he wrapped the head in the plastic bags and took it home. The teen reportedly told friends he planned to leave the head outside to dry and would then bleach it, a police affidavit said. The witnesses said his plan was to turn the skull into a bong, a pipe generally used to smoke marijuana. Buckaloo went to an apartment where some of his friends were and told them that he had chopped off the head because he was bored. Witnesses said they went to the tomb to see the casket and saw that the lid was removed and the body in the casket was headless. Yeah, I'd like to be going there to... I'd like to be going there to pay respects to your dead loved ones and walk in, all of a sudden the lid's off on the tomb and you look in and the head's gone from the casket, the body, what the hell? They'd freak you out, wouldn't it? It's gross, man, the memories that they're going to have from that. So, all for a bong. You know,
are one pathetic loser.
I'm wondering how in the world he's going to turn that into a bong to begin with. Don't you have to have a base where you can, not that I know about this stuff, but
want to get stoned?
Well, you have to get like a straw or something, and then I don't know how the hell he's turned into a bong, because the stuff would come out the, I don't know, it's crazy, but not that I've never done this before, but from Houston on Sunday, toddler dies after TV falls on him. A toddler died Thursday, it must have been a rerun or something, he didn't like what was on TV. A toddler died, it must be the...
holy cow!
It must be in French. It must be somebody French. They like that the French lost the World Cup and he trashed the TV. No. A toddler died Thursday afternoon after a television fell on top of him from Houston. Emergency crews were called to the 7,000 block
of
Bel Air Boulevard in the Bintliff Drive. At Bintliff Drive, excuse me. Officials say that the three-year-old was playing with some other children near an older model large television in the kitchen, and a set fell on the boy, cutting his head. The boy died shortly a short time later at Memorial Hermann Southwest Hospital. So, watch those TVs, strap them to the walls or whatever, get some straps or ropes and tie them down. And what else? And what was they saying? When I'm bored, I play computer games. Apparently not in Vermont. You go into the cemeteries and open up the caskets and rip off the skulls and make bongs in Vermont, I guess. You know, what are they doing in Vermont? How come they can't just hit the trees and get the maple syrup like they're supposed to instead of doing this stupid stuff? You know? And where are we at here? Also from Sunday, man in jail for allegedly setting fire to a Walmart. Killeen, Texas. A 20-year-old is behind bars for allegedly setting fire to a local Walmart. Talk about a fire sale, but I don't know. 20-year-old LaVon Marcus Pledger is in the Bell County Jail charged with arson. It all happened Tuesday at the Killeen Walmart on Lowe's Boulevard. Lowe's didn't like it. There was a Walmart on Lowe's Boulevard. I don't know. Yeah. The manager told police that one of his employees caught Pledger running out of the bathroom in the store immediately before seeing smoke. The manager detained Pledger until police arrived. Surveillance video shows him and another man going into the bathroom several times before smoke was seen. The other man escaped. Pledger is being held for a $30,000 bond. So... oh, well, yeah.
Could we get rid of all the Mexicans?
LaVon Marcus, I don't think he's Mexican. No, that name. He's something else with that name.
You are a meathead.
Could we get rid of all the Mexicans?
Spare me your sixth grade Michael Moore logic.
Could we get rid of all the Mexicans?
Yeah, BSG fan PT says it's good to know we have laws that protect the dead, too. That's good. Let's see. A roof caves in at downtown building in Dothan, Alabama. On Sunday, the roof of what is now a warehouse for a door manufacturer caved in Thursday night, causing police to close two downtown streets. While officials are working to determine exactly what caused the cave-in, Public Works Director blah 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 said it was likely the roof had deteriorated over time, and the heavy rains of Thursday was just too much for the roof to handle. A water main also broke as a result of the collapse, causing the building to flood. Some plate glass windows were also knocked out. The building was originally Malone Motor Company, a Ford dealership. However, the auto dealership moved nearly 40 years ago after being purchased by Fred Bondi. So Fred Bondi obviously didn't take care of his building, or the roof probably wouldn't have collapsed. I don't know. And what else? Also from Sunday, from Naples, Florida, stolen dirt. There is a shortage of fill in Collier County, and prices have more than doubled in the last year, making dirt a hot commodity for construction. The Collier County Sheriff's Office says there has been at least two reports of stolen fill in the last year. Truckers say it happens more than that, but it's hard to track down. Deputies say that with other construction supplies such as lumber, unique markings can be used. With dirt, there's not much that can be done except track where it comes from. Area mines are cracking down on the crime by using a work ticket for each load, which includes the destination address of the fill. How's that? People are stealing dirt now in Florida. Yeah? Terrible. And gross. What's gross about? Can smoke weed out of me. What did John say? Honestly, when I die, my friends can smoke weed out of me. I don't care. Explain to me how somebody can explain in the chat how you turn a human skull into a bong. You know, enlighten me, please. Not that I'll use that, but it's good to know. Saturday from Kern Canyon, California, a woman barely escapes canyon tragedy. Two young women continue to recover after narrowly escaping a fiery car accident in Kern Canyon. Rebecca and Rachel Malama were driving in the canyon on Monday night when they drove off the side of the road, rolling their Jeep as many as 10 times before the vehicle stopped. And the sisters paused to gather themselves before they noticed a grass fire outside their window. They were able to scramble up the side of the canyon with flames at their feet. I think the flames were caused by the Jeep rolling over and the fuel getting out, I think. I don't know. The Malamas said it was a a harrowing experience they'll remember for a long time. It was terrible. It was the scariest thing, blah, blah, blah. It was like a nightmare. You couldn't wake up, and it was better than cats. No, that was me. The flames were everywhere. I just thought it was going to... the other sister said she thought she was going to die. They said they feel blessed to be alive. Rescue crews attribute the Malamas' luck to the perfect timing on the east part of the Forest Service cruise. I don't know. Sunday from Gaffney, South Carolina, newborn left at Gaffney Hospital. It's better than leaving in the trash, or a couple weeks ago the one that was left in the Walmart bathroom and stuff. I think they called that one half off or something. A woman left a healthy newborn baby girl at Upstate Carolina Medical Center about 7:30 a.m. Thursday under South Carolina's Safe Haven for Abandoned Babies Act, more commonly known as Daniel's Law. The child was examined by a local pediatrician and found to be healthy. The doctor says he believes the baby was less than 24 hours old, but was probably not born at a healthcare facility. The child is being held in the hospital's nursery for 36 hours. The child will be turned over to the South Carolina Department of Social Services for custody and foster care placement. So, I don't know. Much I hate seeing these people abandoning their children. It's good to leave it at a hospital or some kind of a responsible place, like a fire department or a police station or, something like that. But, a comic book store? No. But, they're leaving the kids in the trash or, the store we had here at the Mirage. Some newborn baby, I think it was dead, wasn't it? It was found in the trash behind the Mirage. Holy crap. Yeah, terrible. And also, this is from Terre Haute, Indiana on Sunday. New downtown parking garage in the works. If parking downtown in Terre Haute is a hassle, there might soon be a new parking garage to ease your pain. During Thursday night's Terre Haute City Council Sunshine meeting, the multimodal transportation project was discussed. The project started back in 1997, but it has not obtained enough federal money. The council is looking to get the other half of the loan money to pay for the nearly $9 million parking garage. I don't know what we need a big parking garage in Terre Haute, Indiana for, but... not that big of a city. You need a big parking garage in there. There's a significant need on the campus of ISU. I guess it would make it. It's kind of close to ISU. For 27 years, I was director of the Holman Center. There were many of a night I wish I had a parking structure across the street from the Holman Center, as well as a transportation facility for us, for our bus transit service, blah, blah, blah. So once the loan gets approved, they said the cars and buses could be parking in the new downtown garage within 15 months. So I guess they'll help ISU relieve its parking problems. and maybe plaster. Use your imagination. Lots of caulking. Maybe plaster for the bong. Maybe have a human skull. And Giorgio from New York Times, some of the same interests that tried to derail Senator Hillary Clinton's health care overhaul are donating to a re-election bid. Huh. Yeah, that's odd. It makes odd bedfellows there. Why are they trying to get her reelected if they try to derail her health care program? Huh. Strange. That'd be nice. How different would we be today if we had her health care program in effect? That's interesting. And on Saturday, a new study released on hair dye risks. That's from WABC in New York. There's a startling new study about the risks of hair dyes. Researchers warn that tinting or bleaching your hair may put you at a higher risk of getting cancer, but by how much? It's a question that has been asked before, but never conclusively, and millions of people want to know what exactly is the risk. At least they go on that there are over 5,000 chemicals used in hair coloring products. And what else? To answer the question on the risk posed by hair dye, investigators in Europe analyzed two groups of people. One group were people diagnosed with lymphoma, a cancer of the lymph nodes, and a matched group of people without. 4,719 in total. Some 37% of the people in each group had used hair dye. The study published in the American Journal of Epidemiology, what the hell? Epidemiology. Epidemiology. Whatever. Concluded that there was a small increase in the risk of lymphoma among hair dye users. A 19% increased risk. So of that study, 19% of those people had a higher risk of getting cancer because of dyeing their hair. Interesting. And also Saturday from Beech Grove, Indiana, customer anger builds as BMV delays continues. Bureau of Motor Vehicles. Here is the DMV. But anger among customers at the Bureau of Motor Vehicles branches was mounting Friday as a computer upgrade left some of them unable to complete transactions for the third straight day. Excuse me. Despite assurances from BMV officials Thursday that the situation was improving, long lines and frustrated people indicated that they had not gotten any better at the Beech Grove branch on Friday. The entire computer system was shut down again on Friday morning, impacting BMV branches statewide and bringing business to a halt. That happened here in Vegas, last year or whatever, 2 years ago, when they put this new system in, supposed to make it a whole lot faster, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the damn thing crashed, and the lines were crazy at the DMV here. I don't know why, can't they make you do this, have you do this from home, encourage everybody to, renew your sticker from home and not send those stickers out. Police have to scan your plate and they can see, his registration has been renewed. Why have to go through this thing with the line to DMV all the time, Like cattle being herded through the slaughter, And what else? Saturday from Indianapolis. A boy, 2 years old, in critical condition after falling into a pool. A two-year-old boy was hospitalized in critical condition Friday after nearly drowning in a pool at an apartment complex where his family lives. The boy fell into the pool Friday afternoon at the Spring Hill apartment complex on the city's northwest side, the Indianapolis Fire Department said. Someone pulled him out of the water and an ambulance was called. The boy, whose name wasn't immediately available, was near his parents when he fell into the pool. That's why I say, especially here in Vegas, you hear stories like this every day. You got to keep around these kids around these pools. Something about water drags these kids into the pool. I don't know. Saturday from Honolulu, Hawaii. Police arrest suspect in triple murder from Saturday. Police arrested a 23-year-old man. They say he shot and killed three people at the lookout at Round Top Drive Thursday night. It all happened at about 7:15 p.m. The suspect had a taxi take him to the lookout, where he then shot the 50-year-old male driver. He then gunned down a 53-year-old man and a 53-year-old woman who happened to be at the lookout taking pictures. Wow. The suspect then took the cab up Round Top Drive, where he then robbed three other people and then left them tied up at a nearby home. Holy cow. This guy. This lunatic went on a spree, as they say. The suspect then stole another vehicle and was eventually arrested in Makiki. Wow. And the police found the woman and the man dead from gunshot wounds at the scene. Paramedics took another man to Queens Medical Center in extreme critical condition. He later died at the hospital. Oh, I was going there on a sightseeing thing, and just look out this lookout point in Hawaii, and I also get blown away. I mean, it's terrible. And Friday from Boston, crews unearthed long-forgotten graveyard. Hundreds of human bones have been dug up at a long-forgotten graveyard in Boston. The property was just sold by the Archdiocese of Boston to a charter school. St. Joseph's Church was demolished in 2004. Earlier this year, the archaeologists started digging up a cemetery that was behind the church. This property was marketed in the fall. We discovered a burial registration, some kind of certificate in our archives, and it forced our real estate folks to look deeper. We brought in an archaeology firm, and they did some preliminary work. They uncovered some remains, and it helped us to make a very easy decision to begin this process, Archdiocese of Boston spokesman said. Oh, man, who the hell? I don't know what they're building on this land. I wouldn't want to live in this. They say hundreds of people were buried on the property. Once the dig is complete, officials plan to build a charter school. I think there are 600 bodies who were buried in multiple graves. Ooh, no thanks. No thanks. I want to live in that. What else? Also from Friday from Mount Lebanon, Pennsylvania, a probe of explicit top 25 schoolgirl list ends. The Mount Lebanon School District said it has been told that an investigation of a graphic top 25 list of some of its female high school students is over. A notice came in a letter from the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights. Two male students were suspended for allegedly devising and compiling the list, which Mount Lebanon police officials have called vulgar. It identifies girls by name and picture, grades their body parts, and makes allegations of sexually transmitted diseases and drug use. Wow. After the list surfaced publicly, Mount Lebanon police forwarded it to the Allegheny County District Attorney's Office, yada, yada. So, horrible. I think some of these girls turn up around some damn top 25 list with all these STD diseases and everything else. Horrible. And also New York, where we take our break, gay high school to open its doors to all students. From New York City, the city and conservative legal group have settled a lawsuit in which the city was accused of violating laws against segregation by establishing a public high school for gay, bisexual, and transgender students. This is a high school. I don't know how you can have a transgender high school student.
Now, that word's getting kind of old. It's not really funny anymore.
Yeah, they're going to have to come up with a new swear word soon. Well, they can't use fag because you can't say fag unless you're a homosexual. Look.
She's much hotter with blonde hair and skinny. Who are you talking about? Britney Spears? Oh, we're out here. The city and a group calling itself the Liberty Council reached the settlement a week ago, agreeing that the Harvey Milk High School was open to students of any sexual orientation. City is pleased.
He's a fag.
The Harvey Milk High School has always... How do you have a high school called Milk? I don't know. Has always... Harvey, maybe some famous guy, I guess. I don't know. Harvey Milk High School has always been open to all students, and the terms of the stipulation are designed to ensure that all Department of Education staff and students are aware of the non-discrimination policy. So, yeah, interesting. About transgender high school students. Oh, my goodness. Where's this world coming to, you know? And also Friday from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, a winning Pennsylvania bumper sticker touts Shoe Fly Pie. I checked it. Be in this state, have this license plate. What the hell? Illinois was what? The land of Lincoln. Was Nevada home of Steve Wynn or something like that? A new official state bumper sticker is promoting Pennsylvania tourism with a sweet message. It says, "I break for shoe fly pie." Was the winning slogan on an online contest sponsored by the Pennsylvania Tourism Office, who all should be fired after this one. Voters favored the slogan over 15 other choices, such as. Pennsylvania is for road trippers.
Brilliant!
What's wrong with that one? Cars are happier on a Pennsylvania road trip.
Brilliant!
And proud parent of a PA road trip.
Brilliant!
Why don't you go with the shoe fly pie? Tourism official spokesman Carrie Fisher, wonder if she's the Star Wars Carrie Fisher, says that the free bumper sticker is now available at the state's 14 welcome centers. Unbelievable.
You are one pathetic loser.
And one more.
Laughable, man!
And the last one before we take our break for the second hour, we're joined by Eric Olson. Be from Berlin, Germany. Police arrest cement soccer ball pranksters. Police in Berlin said on Wednesday they arrested two men in suspicion of placing cement-filled soccer balls around the city and inviting people to kick them. At least two people injured themselves by kicking the balls, which were chained to lampposts and trees alongside the spray-painted message, "Can you kick it?" The police said they identified a 26-year-old and 29-year-old and had found a workshop in their apartment where they made the balls. The two are accused of causing serious physical injury, dangerous obstruction of traffic, and causing injury through negligence. So
you are one pathetic loser.
Terrible, terrible story about the cement soccer balls.
That's gotta hurt.
So I think now we'll take our break. I can't talk at all. I'll have a couple sips of water, and hopefully my speech will be improved. And in the second hour, when we come back, we'll be joined by Eric Olson at blogcritics.org with our pop culture discussion. And then Koenig Rules will be along for a 4400 update. So once again, I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Thank you very much.
Traveling in a freighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, "Do you come from a land down under? A women go and men wonder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover." I said, "Do you speak my language?" He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. And he said, "I come from a land down under. Where does no one mention her? Can you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover."
Las Vegas, Nevada. You're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.
Attention, attention. You let the humans remain entertained until the end.
And welcome back to the second hour of Subject to Discussion live at LBRocks.com as well as podcasted. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the program live and also everybody listening to the podcast. And, of course, everybody in the chat room, thank you very much. And we had a good first hour talking about the subway fire derailment, wherever it was in Chicago, as well as some of the news and everything. And now we go into our second hour. It's a little more lighter with the we have a pop culture discussion with Eric Olson from blogcritics.org. And then following him will be Koenig Rules. So I think without further ado, we'll bring on Mr. Eric Olson with our pop culture discussion. Sir, are you there?
I am here.
Hi, welcome.
It is quite a pleasure to be back.
Well, thank you very much. I said my voice has been kind of slipping, but I managed to hold on through the first hour. I was surprised. But,
I hear you loud and clear, forceful and manly.
Oh, there comes your music. Sorry, here we go. Hold on.
There you go.
There you go. You should put that music on your on the Blog Critic site. Every time you go on it, the music should start up.
I remember M well.
Yeah, that's the Centurion in charge consoler. Thank you very much. And now, give, there he is. Now, give me a little, you know, we have a lot of new listeners. Give him a little nutshell. What's blogcritics.org?
Well, Blog Critics is, in essence, at this point of the game, an online magazine. Mm-hmm. And we've been doing real, real well. We have almost 1,500 writers now, and we publish in the neighborhood of 50 stories a day, and we cover really a little bit of everything from music, books, TV, film, culture, science and technology, and, of course, politics. And, you know, just kind of a little bit of everything. And we're different from a traditional magazine like a Time magazine or Rolling Stone or something in that most of our writing, most of our coverage is driven by the writers. In other words, they pick what they write about. But, you know, other than that, we've kind of been moving in that direction for a long time, trying to professionalize a bit in terms of our writing and our editing standards and all that kind of thing. But retaining the attitude and the individuality of the blogosphere. So, yeah, it's real exciting. We've been doing quite well, getting a lot of interest from outside sources. And I wish I could mention who we're talking to right now because it's pretty exciting. But you know, just some of the top echelons of the mainstream media have come to realize that the blogosphere is a very worthwhile and interesting place to be. And you know, they like what we do because we act kind of as a filter of it. Hopefully get some of the best of it. So that's what we've been doing, and that's where we are. We're about to go to our fourth anniversary. Man, that is hard to believe.
Wow.
It's August, coming up just next month, four years. And, you know, I've been sitting here banging away at my computer for 12 hours a day for 4 years. So, man, it goes fast. You know, it's really hard to believe. But, you know, I'm in some ways, you know, 4 years is just forever in terms of the internet and the blogosphere in particular. You know, there've been an awful lot of sites that have come and gone in those 4 years. But on the other hand, in the real world, you know, 4 years with a startup business isn't very long at all. So, you know, we're coming along real well. I think we're right around the top 20 in terms of. There's so many different ways to measure, you know, all these different techniques for saying who goes where in terms of links versus traffic versus page views and, you know, just on and on and on and on. But we typically come out somewhere around the top 20, and, you know, that's a pretty good place to be considering there are now, what, something like 67 million blogs.
Yeah,
so I guess we're in the top 0.00000001% or something.
Well, I think I'm in the bottom 0.0999. I don't know. It's just strange. I get quite a few people listen to the podcast and everything, but the blog just kind of, you know, it's like, my blog.
Well,
kind of,
in your case, I think the blog is more a companion to the podcast because that's what you put the most time and effort into, and that's what you are so well known for.
Oh, yes.
Throughout the land.
I don't think I'm that famous. Well, since I gone to the news hour, I kind of lost some listeners, but I don't know. I think I got a lot of emails positive. I got more positive emails since I went to the full news hour than I ever got when I was doing the politics segment. You know what I mean? So it's just strange.
Well, hey, as you well know, you can't please everyone when you talk about politics. You know, it's really hard. I mean, quite honestly, I can relate very well to that. I mean, when I first started, my first blog, which was only really a few months before we got started with Blog Critics, but it was, I think it was February of 2002. And, you know, at that time, everything was about 9/11 and the aftermath and, you know, what was going to happen and who were we going to go to war with and how are we going to respond and what was going to happen to the country. And so, you know, it was a very serious time, and the blogs were really, all kinds of blogs arose out of that environment. That was kind of a real big push into the blogosphere, because at that time people became aware of a Blogspot and the fact that, you know, you had this software that was quite simple to use. You didn't have to know all the coding and whatnot. So, you know, people were really into politics, and that was my main focus when I got into it. That's what drew me, like so many, into blogging was, hey, I can talk about what's going on in the world, I can give my opinion, I feel really, you know, emotionally compelled to do so, you know, in the aftermath of the, you know, this horrifying terror attack on our home turf, and, you know, in a lot of ways really shook the national confidence, I think. We were trying to rally each other. I think that's part of what blogging was at that point. It was just trying to rally each other and tell each other how we feel, and the fact that, yes, you know, we can go on and it's worth it, and this is just a serious, of course, very serious bump in the road as we go forward. So anyway, my point is that it was so contentious, you know, when all you did was talk about politics.
Yeah.
And when I went from having my own site to Blog Critics, which is obviously a collective site, a communal site, and really the very original idea, the very first idea for Blog Critics, was to avoid politics. Well, that lasted about a week because, you know, everyone on there still wanted to be able to talk about politics, including me. And so, but, you know, what I found is over those 4 years, I talk less and less about politics, because it's so hard to find, you know, a path that you can take that doesn't lead to just kind of the same old, you know, rote responses from both sides.
And
I'm very much a centrist, you know, kind of guy, really. I mean, I pretty much always have been. I mean, I have some fairly left-leaning positions. I have some fairly right-leaning positions. I kind of come out in the middle somewhere. And, you know, you can't really please anyone.
No,
so I found that I've turned more and more with my own writing as kind of the figurehead for the site, and I'm trying to, you know, kind of stay in the middle and keep things moving along and not stir up too much controversy.
No. So you're like the Perry White of the Blog Critics. You're the chief?
Exactly. I am the Perry White, and I
who's the Clark
trying
Kent?
To look more and more like Perry White, I realize.
Who's the Clark Kent? Is it Philip Wynn or
that's a good question.
Eric
Let's
Berlin.
Philip, you know, he has some both Clark Kentish and Supermanish tendencies. You know, he's our tech guy, and man, oh man, he's built that whole site from scratch.
Good
you know,
for him.
It's really, really hard to believe.
How's Desi Critics doing?
Desi Critics is doing really well. You know, it's kind of all how you look at it. It's very, very difficult to start a new site from scratch that is a collective site, and to create a community, and to have a sense of belonging, and to have that all be organic and not forced. You know, that's probably the greatest strength of Blog Critics is that we did grow all on our own, you know, never had any marketing money behind us, never really paid, we have never paid for anything other than site hosting. I mean, that really is it. So, you know, the way we've grown, the methods that the path we have followed has been very organic, has been very real, has been very community-based. And to try to recreate that again very quickly, you know, and again, without using money, you know, if you have money behind you, if you're willing to or able to toss money at it, you can do lots of marketing and create, you know, all kinds of advantageous situations for yourself. So, but yeah, we started again. It's Aman Lamba, who is a Indian American, and in fact, very interestingly, he moved back to India.
Wow.
You know, he's a software guy, and he's actually in Mumbai right now, where they just had all the horrible explosions today. And last I heard, everyone who's a member of, of Blog Critics, of Desi Critics, and the you know, and their immediate circles were okay. But yeah, I mean, that's a horrible thing, and I think we're, man, you know, you just look at the, you just look at those headlines, you know, every day, and between, you know, Iraq and India and various places in Africa. I mean, man, it's a very turbulent time, which is another reason why I'm not all that terribly drawn to politics and world events right now. Is it's a really down time. You know, you kind of, it's probably irresponsible to stay away from it too much as we start heading into the national elections again here. You know, it's only 2 years plus off, and of course we got the midterms coming up shortly. But you know, it's made it kind of easy for me to resort to my natural tendency, which is to be the somewhat apolitical science major, and to you know, kind of focus on some of the easier topics like popular culture. And I mean, my background as far as a writer has always been focused on pop culture anyway. Music is mostly what I've written about and probably what I know best. And but you know, that's another great thing about running a site like this, or just for that matter, just having a blog, is you get to be so eclectic. And and that's my background. You know, I kind of arrived at this point where I am now in my life in an extremely meandering manner. You know, I've just kind of wandered here, wandered there. I've been a radio DJ, I've been a TV guy, I've been a live DJ, you know, mobile and club for, oh, just too many years. Don't even want to say how many. Well, 20 years about. And, you know, I've been a writer on and off, and was in the corporate world for a little while. I was a contracts negotiator, believe it or not, in my early 20s.
Wow.
And in school, I really was a poli-sci major, but at that point in my life, man, I couldn't have cared much less about it.
Really? You know, see, I'm opposite. I always had a love for politics. I remember in 76 watching the political conventions and, like, transfixed by them. But now I've kind of, you know, the news, you know, I always like the news, and I think it's easier, you know, I don't know, you know, with the politics, it's always left, right, and you're always going to make somebody mad, and, you know what I mean?
Oh, I do. It's difficult. It really is, because if you're, you know, it's hard to find the spot where you can discuss things in an intelligent, rational way and try to get at the underlying policies and you know, approach things from a at least primarily anyway intellectual perspective. It's very difficult with politics because people's perspectives are so fixed, and they you know, and we're in a particularly contentious time now. You know, I think we've seen greater and greater polarization the longer the war has been going on, and you know, it's a difficult time. There's no question about it, and you're just seeing. You know, when I look at the positions and the attitudes of not necessarily the far, but more the hard, either left or right. You know, it's not so much you got to go that far out, but when you're you know, hardened, when your position is hardened, either to the right or to the left, I have a really hard time relating to either. You know, they both just sound. They both sound skewed and illogical and you know, kind of fixated, and that's my, I suppose, ultimately my strength and weakness as a thinker or as a writer, is that I really can typically see both sides of a position. You know, I mean, I can see what makes sense about both sides of it, and you know, can sort of put my mind in there. I suppose that's more the you know, the imaginative side or the empathetic side of being a writer, rather than the coolly analytical side of it. But you know, I can listen to a lot of different positions as long as they're presented well, and there's not a lot of, you know, emotional baggage, and there's not a bunch of name calling, and I could say, well, yeah, you know, that makes sense. That's pretty logical.
Yeah.
But then I can hear the exact opposite position, and feel the same way. So that's why I've always, you know, I realize absolutely as a citizen, you know, the seriousness of politics and the seriousness of policy and the directions that we go, and you could, and it's real easy to see those things carried out on the local level. You know, now that I'm a real adult and a homeowner, and I got four kids, and you know, see what happens at the local level. I mean, it makes all the difference in the world if you're going to get your zoning for your land, and you know, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It really plays out right there. But it seems to get more and more abstract. You know, the farther out you go, you get to the state level, you get to the national level, and so anyway, it is really hard to talk intelligently and to not get caught up in the emotional side of it yourself, let alone you know, be able to have discussions with people of differing positions on politics.
Yeah.
So I very much can empathize with the difficulties of trying to do a political show, you know, and kind of minimize the number of people that you alienate.
Well, especially with me, because I do, like, it's like a magazine show, and this segment and the Battlestar Galactica segment, 11, you know, can't stand the politics at the front of it. And they go, oh, well, maybe the news will make it an easier flow for everybody, so it's not, you know, a strict left-right bash fest. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you mean.
Now, what about Sid Barrett died? That's right.
Yeah, I guess
we
better
talk
about it, since we only have, like, 10 minutes left.
Sorry.
And I've done my usual blabbing about
Sid Barrett died.
A whole lot of nothing. But, hey, we had to reintroduce ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you say, got some new people out there in the audience, and we want them to come on over and check out
blogcritics.org.
And,
yes.
You know, of course, obviously, all that stuff. In fact, I really appreciate your... I hadn't even thought about going through the whole reintroduction thing, so
no,
that was very thoughtful of you. Thank you.
I'm a professional broadcast journalist.
Heck, man. all the way. All right, so Sid Barrett, for those who don't know, he was really the founding member with Roger Waters of Pink Floyd, and what a lot of people don't know is they began kind of as a hard-edged R&B kind of band, like the original Who or the Pretty Things or the real early Rolling Stones. But quickly on, his songwriting abilities, and he quickly became the leader of the band as guitarist and singer and songwriter, primary songwriter, went to this very psychedelic direction, and so they ended up, as they became popular for the first time, which is closer to the mid-60s, really, even than the later 60s. Well, 67 was their first album, and it's a combination of this sort of extended, instrumental-oriented space rock, which they became known for, you know, more so, much more so in the 70s, and what they really became famous for, and then this real interesting kind of old English or English folk kind of twee countryside, you know, genteel psychedelic stuff. And so it was this really interesting and unusual combination, not a whole lot, you know, like Dark Side of the Moon, for example, or anything else that they're known to most of the, at least younger fans, people who came along later. And but the problem was that part of this lifestyle, this point of view, you know, that led to these musical development in that direction was Sid Barrett was taking, you know, LSD like daily.
Wow.
So you know, there's been a lot of studies kind of after the fact on him, and a lot of people are now saying, well, he probably didn't have the kind of personality that could have held up anyway, and that even without the daily dosing of LSD, that he probably couldn't have handled success very well and probably would have shut down anyway. You know, in other words, he probably had some you know, pretty specific mental illness. But imagine combining that, you know, and of course, I don't want to minimize, you know, he clearly was a wildly talented guy. A lot of people say a genius. That word's tossed around pretty easily, but I'm not so sure I'd go that far. But you know, he's certainly a brilliant, visionary songwriter, and you know, excellent singer, and very charismatic guy. And you combine the artistic temperament with probably some mental illness with daily LSD, and you know, by the end of the '60s, he was just gone. Yeah. He was lost.
Yeah, it's kind of like what's his name? Osborne. He's kind of whacked out when he was on that show, you know?
Ozzy?
Yeah, he was kind of... understand him.
Yeah, you're right. But at least he made it a lot older before he started falling apart. Yeah. But I mean, he, you know, in a lot of ways, when you see him up close, you're right, like on the MTV show.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, God, he looks... You know, his symptoms are of a much, much older man.
Yeah, he slumps around.
I don't think he's 60 yet. I think he's still just late 50s.
Yeah, he mopes around. He's like the old saying, the light's on, but nobody's home, you know?
He's got a lot of problems, a lot of physical problems, he's dealt with all the different issues, alcohol, drugs. He keeps hurting himself. He got in a bad...
rollover, wasn't it?
On a scooter.
Yeah.
You know, so he wasn't protected at all.
Huh.
And, you know, he's just had run the whole gamut. It's, you know, like Keith Richards, who's a yet another fascinating topic, because the Stones, actually, their European tour started tonight. After it had to be postponed when he, you know, fell out of the coconut tree.
Yeah, he landed on his head, right?
Had to have brain surgery. But, you know, can you believe the fact that Keith Richards is still plugging along?
Unbelievable.
Still performing, still alive?
Well, not only that, he's going to be in the next Pirates movie.
Exactly.
You know?
It's hysterical.
Yeah.
You know, it's very fitting, you know, that the Captain Jack Sparrow character, Johnny Depp's wildly, at this point, successful. That was another thing we were going to talk about.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Running out of time. Broke the all-time opening weekend record.
Yeah, well, that came out of nowhere. I don't think they expected to do well, but not like this, huh?
Of course, you're right. I mean, no way. There's no way that it was expected. You know, they were hoping maybe for $100 million, which, you know, sounds just crazy in and of itself. But, you know, it was way, way, way beyond that. And I think it was the right time, the right place. It just kind of this groundswell. It hit when there really wasn't that much competition. People liked Superman, I guess. I still haven't seen the new one yet. Returns, you know, reasonably well, but it wasn't going to be the blockbuster. And there's just been so much goodwill that has developed, that has been building toward the franchise in general since the first movie. It's been 3 years. It did not begin anything like this. It caught people off guard. It was in essence a sleeper, if there can be such a thing coming from Disney. You know, if Disney can have such a thing as a sleeper, that was it. They didn't know what to expect. It didn't start off, you know, any big deal at all. It was just really the classic word-of-mouth, long, slow build. And by the time it came out on DVD, it was extremely popular, did very well. It's held up really well to repeated viewings on DVD. We have it. You know, we've watched it many, many, many times. The little kids love it.
Yeah.
My older kids love it. We still love it. You know, I mean, we're not going to watch it every day, but I've probably seen it a dozen times now, and I find it very amusing and exciting and interesting. And it really did it. What it did best, I think, was recapture the excitement, you know, of that bygone era that's so long ago. You know, it's probably 50 years since there's been a really, really happening pirate movie, you know, where you have the sense of adventure and, you know, everyone has a little bit of rogue in them, I believe. So anyway, you know, recaptured that environment so well. And so I think everything was just right. They did a real good job setting it up. It coincided with the ride, you know, the actual Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Yeah, that was remarkable about that, because it's based on some silly little ride at Disneyland, and it turned out to be a huge blockbuster.
Well,
you know?
It's not. It's a franchise.
Yeah.
You know, they're already something like two-thirds finished filming the third one.
Mm-hmm.
You realize it's going to open Memorial Day of next year. In other words, you know, less than a year
after
this one. It's amazing. You know,
well, Keith Richards is supposed to be in that one.
That's the one he's going to be in, right.
Yeah.
And they're taking a break, I guess, from the tour in the fall, and he's going to go in and shoot his bits then. But I don't think he's going to have a big part. It's more like a cameo kind of thing, you know. But it'll still be really cool to see, you know, kind of quote-unquote the real thing, because, I mean, he's always had that pirate look, you know, with the
dark
scarves
hair,
and the beads everywhere, and, you know, just the way he holds his guitar. It's almost like a saber or something, you know.
Before we go, well, you want to talk about broadband, how it's transforming the internet online economy. Well, the big story now is that the Congress is going to put the clamps down on internet gambling. You won't be able to use credit cards to gamble on those internet gambling sites, huh?
Yeah, that's really interesting.
That's huge.
I have very mixed feelings on that, because I'm personally quite anti-gambling. It's kind of the one vice that I really personally it's funny, there you are in Las Vegas, right? You know, I'm not a fan of it, and I don't think it's really particularly good for society. But on the other hand, I'm certainly not for any kind of excess governmental restrictions, and I basically want people, you know, to do what they want to do within reason, and you know, so anyway, I have very mixed feelings about you know, how the internet is used and the kind of restrictions that they put on it. But, you know, to the central matter, yeah, it's a really interesting time, because broadband now, it all depends on how you define, A, broadband, you know, how fast does it have to be broadband, and B, how do you define users. But, you know, they're now saying about two-thirds, or I think it's even three-quarters, of heavy internet users now have broadband. And, of course, that's forcing all kinds of things, or it's not forcing it, it's enabling all kinds of things. You wouldn't have had this video revolution of the last year with these, you know, brand new sites coming out of nowhere. Who heard of YouTube, you know? I mean, it just came out of nowhere, and it's now one of the absolutely top, you know, sites, most trafficked, heavily trafficked sites on the internet, and videos just popping up everywhere. All the big portals, Yahoo and AOL and Google are all using video as a big draw, and are offering video search and whatnot, and video hosting for that matter, and you know, all that of course is enabled by broadband. If you have dial-up, I mean, you're not going to mess around with video. It's just way too time-consuming and frustrating. So you're seeing this real change in the culture of the internet, but then also the economy of it. As a result of all this, AOL just announced that at their next board meeting in a couple weeks or less now, that they're going to change or propose to completely change their entire business model. And in essence, they're not going to charge anymore that monthly fee, you know, that they've been hanging on to with their hawk talons, you know, for the last 16 years now.
Wow.
And they're going to go for a basically completely ad-supported free model, like the other portals. And you can imagine what a dramatic and drastic change that is, you know, for them. And all of that is both enabled and, you know, necessitated by the rise of broadband. So it's a real interesting time, and that's a whole other topic to get into. It goes certainly way beyond, you know, pop culture. But, you know, it's an interesting time, and we're seeing the real blending of the media. You know, TV is finding a really interesting, supportive place on the internet. You know, and you have all these fan sites, and you have all these video sites, and they're putting out clips now all over the internet. And it's a real interesting time to see the media blending together with the internet kind of now as the hub.
Yeah. Well, the Eric, with let you go. We have Mr. Conan Gruhl's waiting in the wings to come on. So thank you very much for being
My pleasure. And I'm glad that we're in summer mode here. I'm not getting up as ridiculously early here in Eastern time as I do the rest of the year. I'm in a little slightly more leisurely mode. So, I'm gonna try to do as many of these as I can.
Very good.
To, starting at 11 in the in Eastern time. But through the summer, I'm gonna do as many as I can.
Absolutely.
I enjoy talking with you, and I really like the audience that you have. And we've had some really terrific feedback on our site from people who became familiar with us through you. So we appreciate that a lot.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Eric. We'll bring you back on, and look forward to whoever you can have in mind for next week.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sean.
Bye. And that was Eric Olson of blogcritics.org. And in a minute, we'll be joined by Conan Gruhl, who has a Doctor Who update. So we have the Doctor Who music accompaniment for him, Mr. Centurion.
I thought he was talking about 4400.
Oh, well, no, he wants to talk about Doctor Who, I guess. He's got a Doctor Who spoiler. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Let me open up with Close Encounters music and really throw him for a loop now. But and we joined him on by Koenig, and thank him for very much being on. It's an incredible site, Blog Critics. They really worked on it and everything else. It's really well put together. Music, books, TV, film, culture, politics, sports, gaming, and then sci-tech. But this thing with the Congress, I think, you know what? They should put the clamps down on this internet gambling, because you know what? I think if you're going to gamble, for crying out loud, you better make an effort to go. You should have to get out of your house and actually go down to the damn casino and gamble. You shouldn't be able to sit there in your pajamas and your underwear and pull out the damn Visa and start gambling on the credit card. That, I think, is wrong. You know, they should have done that years ago. I don't know why they even let the internet gambling on. That's what I think. Too many of these areas have gambling. You should have to make an effort to go to a casino and gamble. Vegas, Atlantic City, fine. They could have gambling. Mississippi, okay, fine. Not all over the country, I think you should have to make an effort. You have to get on a plane or get in a car and drive to go and gamble, not sit in your underwear and dig out the credit card. Because these people, the country as a whole is not responsible for the most part with the money. We're up to our ears in credit card debt, and the gambling people see is the easy way out. Oh, just put on a card. Who cares? Put on a card. You got 8-9 cards. I keep saying at the hotel, when I work at the front desk, I don't know how many people get in front of me to try and check in. When I work at the front desk, they have 4, 5, 6 credit cards. And, three out of four of them or four out of five are all decline. What are you doing in Las Vegas if you have all those credit cards and they're all declined? You don't even belong in Las Vegas. You belong in credit counseling. I'm sorry, but Las Vegas is the last place you ought to be. That goes my sponsorship for me at the casinos. But still, it's common sense. You're obviously having money problems because you're maxing out all these credit cards. Why are you in a casino? Yeah, they're not building more of these places here in Vegas because these people are winning. These casinos, those people are losing to the casinos. That's how they're building more of these places. So that's what I think. I think you have to clamp down on that. So I don't know. And this is what Giorgio is saying. Oh, we are here. I hear you, Sean. I'd love to do a weekend in Las Vegas. Time is Vegas is a nice town, but if you're going to go and gamble, you should be able to make an effort to go and gamble. You shouldn't be able to just pull out your credit card and, off and go, in your underwear, So I think with that, we'll be joined by Mr. Conan Gruhl in a moment. There we go. There he comes. Exiting the TARDIS, I believe, is a newly regenerated Mr. Conan Gruhl.
That's right.
Are you there, sir?
I am here.
There you go. Welcome back.
From my office.
Oh, from your office?
From my office.
From your office. Wow.
My DSL was deactivated the last 5 days.
Uh-oh. That's always a bad thing. So
I've been working off a laptop,
Wow. You're high tech, huh? So you didn't know
about... Yeah, right.
So, So you didn't know about the derailment in Chicago,
no,
huh?
No, I didn't.
Wow, that's breaking news. Yeah, they broke it a couple hours ago. Yes.
Will this show get interrupted now?
No. Please, no. Not even Bush will interrupt my program. No, they had a fire in the blue line. You know, the blue line runs from... You've been on the blue line before?
I've been on the red line.
Beyond the red line? No. No. And the blue line runs from O'Hare. You live in the area. You should know about this. What am I telling you about? Anyway, the blue line runs from O'Hare into downtown. And then when it goes to downtown, it goes underground. And over by the Thompson's area, you had a hideous building down there.
Right.
It derailed and caught fire. And anyway, it ended up pulling all these people up out of the escape holes in the sidewalk over there.
Wow.
So it's a huge thing. Yeah.
You said over 100 people, right?
100 people were injured. So far, as we've been reporting, my reporter on the scene, Giorgio, is saying that so far nobody has been killed.
He's
been found dead, I guess. You know, so
it was Mayor Daley on?
Mayor Daley? No, I don't know. I didn't see Mayor Daley on, no.
This is terrible!
Why, you don't like Mayor Daley?
No, he's okay. This is awful! Sounds like Curly from the Three Stooges.
Oh, me? Yeah, my voice is a little raspy today.
That's right!
So anyway, and what else? Don't forget to have Weekend with the Stars for this weekend here in Las Vegas. I forgot. Yeah, Weekend with the Stars.
Who's going to be on?
John Ritter and the Weekend with the Stars. Tell
John
time.
Ritter?
No.
He's dead.
No, Aaron
this
Douglas.
Is terrible.
Aaron Douglas is coming to town.
Oh, good. Maybe you should get him back on.
I tried. He didn't answer my email.
Yeah, he hasn't been communicating with me either. I wonder if there's been a clampdown.
Uh-oh. And then... Gil Gerard, who he said looks
Gil
like
Gil Gerard.
He said he looks like the Emperor from Star Wars, right?
He looks like the Death Star.
Aaron Gray will be on. Not Linda Gray from Dallas, but Aaron Gray. Felix, what the hell's his name?
Sliva? Felix Sila. Sila.
He'll be on. He'll be there. Sorbo will be there from Andromeda and Hercules and all these other people. David Prowse will be there. It's gonna be a huge event.
Kevin Sorbo's gonna be there too.
Absolutely.
How about Lucy Lawless?
No, I don't know. She's not in the list, no.
Well, because she's filming Battlestar.
Probably. And Sorbo's got nothing else to do but do a sci-fi.
You know what? We're going to see him on Battlestar.
Oh, yeah.
You mark my words. He's going to be either, I bet she's going to be a Cylon model or the Cylon god.
You don't think he'll be commanding yet another Battlestar, do you?
Oh, I thought he would have been a pretty good Kane, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know?
You sound really enthusiastic.
I don't know. I think we've seen enough of Kevin Sorbo for a while. You know, please, you send him out.
Oh, jeez.
Aren't you sick of looking at him? I'm sick of him. You know, with Weekend with the Stars. I'm trying to pull up the website.
Are you hosting some of that or
no? Oh, wait. No, I have to work. I'm sorry. I wasn't invited.
Really?
I rattled their cage to get Aaron Douglas on the thing. It turns out I wouldn't even invited.
Yeah, you could have asked him, hey, can I tag along as your guest?
Well, anyway, I'm on the site now. Yeah, it's called weekendwiththestars.com. They have a Darth Vader on the cover on the front page of the website, July 15th through the 16th at the Las Vegas Convention Center, which is next door to the Hilton. And it says, just added, appearing both days, Aaron Douglas from Chief Tyrell from Battlestar Galactica. So, he'll be there.
This is terrible.
Who else will be there? Claire Kramer from Glory from the Buffy will be there. Jenny Molin, Nina Ash from the Angel will be there. And Tom Link, Andrew from the Buffy the Vampire Slayer, he'll be there.
What about Dalek?
No Dalek. let's see, who else? No. Sorbo, Gil Gerard. Tweaky, and what's his name? Richard Keel will be there, who Jaws from the James Bond movies.
I thought he died.
No, he went Howard Keel from Dallas.
No, but I thought Richard Keel died, too.
Or I don't know.
I confuse him with Cassidy.
Uh-oh. No, I think he's thinking, uh-oh. That was me doing the voice, I think. That's my voice.
Is that Mayor Daley?
Yeah, pretty much.
I told you Mayor Daley would come on.
Yeah. And Howard Keel is Bodie Olmos's grandfather,
because
Edward James Olmos was married to Howard Keel's daughter.
Oh, geez.
From Dallas, and Howard Keel he passed away, but he's Bodie and Amico Olmos's grandfather.
I think you mentioned that one
during
when
the interview.
You interviewed him.
Yes. So anyway, you have a big Doctor Who boiler?
Yes. It was I haven't seen it, but I have heard about what happens in the season finale. And did you ever watch the show Sliders?
Sliders?
Oh, yeah, that show was awesome.
You like
it
that?
Was awesome.
Oh, that show
they
was
ruined
okay.
it on Sci-Fi.
Yeah, Sci-Fi ruined it, but well, it's not hard. Well, it's not that they ruined it. It's just, you know, the actors didn't want to do those roles
right.
anymore. And but when it was on Fox, it was awesome.
The first three
seasons. Yeah, the first season's all right.
Well, I think two seasons on Sci-Fi was all right. And then when they basically when
Fox.
Jerry O'Connell.
Jerry O'Connell, he decided he doesn't want to do it anymore. I mean, there was no really point. But, you know, come on. He was great. And then you had a...
The chick.
What's her name? She was so hot.
And the nightclub entertainer, he was on there too. What was his name? He looked a bit like...
The Crying Man.
The Crying Man.
Yeah.
He was... Well,
but,
no,
Carrie Wuer? Yeah,
Carrie
Wuer was really hot.
He looked like Flip Wilson.
Carrie Wuer, and then, well, the best was when they found out that he had a twin brother, and they actually used his brother.
Right, right.
That was hokey as can be,
What do you mean hokey?
Well, like real sci-fi. That is
so
hokey,
anyway,
hokey recasting business.
So,
kill him off.
So you hate the whole idea of...
Bring it back on?
Dimensions? Like interdimensional?
Oh, no, I like the premise of the show. But
and the Cro-Mags?
The Cro-Mags, like the Klingons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then what else?
Doctor
Who, there's a parallel Earth.
Oh.
And the Cybermen are on that parallel Earth.
Really?
And the Daleks have survived the Time War.
Are you serious? What the hell are you getting this from?
Daleks? Cybermen?
And Battlestar Galactica? Are you serious?
No, but I am serious. And Rose and her mom and Mickey are there, but there's some closure with all that.
Is Buck Rogers there, too?
What?
Wait a minute.
Is Buck Rogers there, too?
No.
Yeah, I lost you.
They did use... here's a bit of trivia. They did talk about the Stargate on Buck Rogers. Every time they traveled from one dimension to another... They refer to it as the Stargate.
I bet
you didn't know that.
No.
Wait a minute.
What's this thing with Who and Galactica? Now, everybody's
who
asking.
Who and Galactica?
Is it what you said?
No.
What did you just say?
I said they bring some closure to the Rose story.
Oh, I thought you said it involves the Galactica.
No.
Wait, how the hell are they doing this? Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah, actually, it gets absorbed in the TARDIS.
I see.
Well, okay. Because it's so much bigger on the inside.
Yeah. So they resolved that in the Cybermen episode, right?
Yeah. Well, the Cybermen actually star in two-parters.
Wow.
Yeah. And one in the middle of season two, and then one at the end.
Huh.
So, yeah, it sounds really good.
Now, like I said, I was talking on email about that. What's her name? Freema Vigiminjamin,
yeah.
Whatever the hell her name is.
And I think she looks hot.
Think so. I see the American audiences, the British will probably accept her because the races are more equal in Britain, seems like. Here in the United States, I really don't know if the viewers are going to embrace her. You know?
You don't think she looks pretty enough?
Well, I'm not saying that.
Or you think because she's in her national...
I think because she's Indian. She looks Indian. The people aren't going to, you know what I mean? They want to see a hot blonde in one of these roles.
Well,
you know?
I don't think she's going to have robes.
You mean robes? What?
Robes.
Oh.
Robes, not robes.
No, I just mean, I don't think the American audience is going to, maybe I'm hoping I'm wrong. I hope
hoping you're wrong, too, because she looked hot in that.
Maybe
picture.
We've matured, but I mean... As a as a species or whatever that we can accept something like that in the world.
Well, Sean, you know, and I know that probably season 3 will be shown here in 2010.
Hopefully, by then we'll all still be around. I don't know.
Will your show be around then?
I don't know. Who knows? Probably not. I don't know. And the powers that be. this show could get canceled at the snap of a finger from somebody in charge here.
I think your show is very exciting every week.
Oh, really?
I would like to be on it every week.
You are, anyway.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Now, that 4,400. Now, I watched it again last week. It was very good.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, they resolved the whole thing with Sean cutting his arm up and everything.
Right.
And they stopped that. And they ended
up but the thing is, we don't know who was controlling Sean to do that. We thought it was that rogue 4,400, but was it that rogue 4,400, or was it Isabel?
No.
I think it was Isabel, you know?
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Remember, what's his name? Tom has got to snuff her out with that hypodermic.
Yeah, and he backed down from it because...
Well, he wanted to be on the rest of the season, I guess.
And what else happened on that show?
They had a killing. What's his name at the 4,400 center? Matthew.
Oh, yeah, he got killed. Yes.
Yeah, he got killed. I was thinking they were going to kill, Isabel was going to kill her dad.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And but they didn't go that far.
No.
But that show has really gotten complex. In terms of, it's gotten as complex as Battle Stuff.
Yeah, I said, yeah, you're right, because if you're jumping like I did, it's hard to grasp.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how you're doing it without season one and season two.
I don't know. It's taking a swig of whiskey and seeing what I can get through.
Now, the ratings have dropped this year on it by almost 1 million viewers.
Wow, that's not good at all.
But I'm wondering if this is a trend among sci-fi shows that they initially have a big following, and then I don't know whether people are going out, they're catching it on and I'm not sure if this is on iPods or on
VCR
or recordings, but it's taken quite a hit. So I'm not sure if it's going to be back next year.
Wow.
And I shouldn't start a rumor like
that. Hey, have you heard anything about them changing the, not really the programming, but just the changing the name sci-fi?
Yeah, well,
I heard something. Well, didn't Katie mention that? Or no? I read somewhere that Katie.
Well, I mentioned it, but
yeah, he mentioned it.
I haven't heard it from anywhere else, but yeah, I mentioned it.
Centurion.
I heard it from somewhere.
Yeah, I read somewhere on one of the boards that Katie had mentioned that sci-fi. Katie Sackhoff that.
That's because I mentioned it. Why am I not getting credit? Damn it!
She's gonna get fired because of something
you mentioned. It. What's your name?
Khan. This is a centurion.
This is Khan?
Khan. K-A-N.
Well, the Wrath of Khan.
The Wrath of Khan. That's right. With my last breath, I'll spit at thee, right? That's what he said in the movie.
So what are they going to call it?
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. That's what they're going to call
it. That's too long a channel name.
I should think they should call it the What If Channel and get it over with. Under ads, the What If, the network that says What If. Well, change it to What If then.
Imagine.
Imagine Network.
Hey, how about
there
that?
There you go. Imagination Network or something. The I Network or something. I don't know.
How about the Twilight Zone? Oh, sorry.
There you go. Well, because with ECW on there, they can't really call it the sci-fi, and Law and Order on there. Yeah, I don't know how they can keep calling it the Sci-Fi Channel. Yeah.
Hey, Sean, a new show is going to premiere next week on Sci-Fi.
Eureka?
I think it's either at 8 or... when is the wrestling on?
Comes out at... well, out here in Vegas, I think it comes out at 10.
Is it during your show?
Yes, I'm up against ECW.
Okay, because I think a show before that, Eureka, is going to be premiering. Is that up against you, the hour before that?
I don't think it's going to matter. Eureka, I don't think Eureka is going to last too long anyway.
You don't think so?
I don't think
so. Well, they're slated for 13 episodes.
I think it'll last 6 if they're lucky.
Really?
You've seen the premise. It's like hokey. Come on. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Didn't they already try a show like that once? There wasn't a show similar to that?
They did a show with reporters investigating The Strange and Unusual. I'm trying to think of the name of that show.
The Sentinel or something like that, wasn't it? The Sentinel? The Chronicle.
There you go.
Yeah, it was with the chick from General Hospital. Rena Sofer was in it. Yes.
Yeah. And it still didn't work.
No. This won't work either. Garen, as what's his name said in those old cooking shows, I guarantee. You know, I don't know. But actually, the big, WPB is putting in the chat room that Friday, July 21st from 2 to 3, Battlestar Galactica. It's going to be a convention. Where is this at?
And, yeah, where's this at?
I think in San Diego, I think he said. Where is this at now?
Why don't they come to Chicago? Yeah, we have such a lovely subway system.
Yeah, Battlestar Galactica panel at the Comic-Con in San Diego at the Convention Center, July 19th through the 23rd. And the Friday is going to be Battlestar Galactica. Omos will be there.
Is Mayor Daley going to be there?
I don't know. Omos, McDonald will be there, James Callis, Lucy Lawless, and more, and Ike will be there as well.
Wow. And it's going to be moderated by Lisa Cham.
Yeah, Irina too, yeah.
No, I'm psychic.
How the hell could she moderate it? I should be there moderating the damn panel, you know?
That's right.
Oh, well.
I'm Sean.
Yeah, right. And what else? Anything else with Doctor Who? Any other boilers?
Only that in the Christmas special, they're not going to have a Gia. They're going to have a temporary companion for the Doctor.
You kidding me? What? Who's this now? Who's this temporary? Is it going to be what's her name's mother? She's
temporary companion.
Jackie
going to be with him in the finale and
six
in the Christmas special.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So Jackie won't be the temporary assistant. No.
Jackie. Oh no.
Rose's mother. Anywhere.
Jackie, Mickey, Rose. They're all going to be gone.
Oh, and they're going to kill her off, too, Jackie?
All I can tell you is one person remarked to me, remember, this is a children's show.
Oh.
So my guess is it's not going to be that traumatic.
Oh.
They want to bring her back, probably.
How can they logically bring her back when her daughter is killed off on the show, huh? I don't know.
But...
Unless you go back in time, and she is.
Yeah, I could go back in time, right?
Hmm.
By the way, Rose's dad's going to be in it, too.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, who was supposed to have died, but remember, this is a parallel Earth.
Oh, yeah.
I know, you don't like that premise, do you?
I don't know. The Star Trek used to pull those things with the Picard, and even Shatner and Kirk and them used to do in this parallel business.
Yeah, wasn't that great, huh?
The mirror universe. Yeah,
mirror
universe. Right. And they did that with Star Trek. If Galactica does that, I'm going to turn the channel.
That would be cool, wouldn't it?
No, it'd be stupid. I don't know. I don't think...
Ron Moore would be digging the
the grave?
The dregs? I don't know.
I don't think Moore would do that, go to parallel universe, unless it's like something...
He might have some time warps, though.
You think so?
Yeah, probably at the end of this season, he'll probably go into 10 years from now.
No. I don't think he could use this more than once, this device. It's 1 year jump. I don't know.
Well, how then will Hera get older? I mean, how will she mature?
Uh-oh, you're being questioned. Giorgio is saying Rose is not going to be killed off.
I know that.
Giorgio.
What's the matter with you, man?
I
said this was a children's show.
Wait a minute. I thought we reported she was going to get killed off.
No.
I thought you said she was going to get blasted or something.
What, today?
No, a few weeks ago.
That's what the rumor was, no, she doesn't. No, Giorgio is right. She is not going to be killed off.
Oh, well, that's big news then. So she is not going to get killed. So what's going to happen?
Okay, all right. Now your ratings are going to go up.
So she's just going to leave the show or what?
Yes.
Really?
She's moving on.
God. I don't know. So it's always possible they can bring her back?
Some people, though, did not like Rose on the sci-fi board.
No.
I mean, they couldn't stand her accent, and I thought she was okay.
Yeah. I mean, she's hot, too. I mean,
some didn't like her, you know.
Nothing better.
I want K-9. Oh, K-9 comes back, did I tell you?
Oh, yeah.
In season two.
Nothing better than looking at a hot blonde, I'm telling you. Yeah.
Well, what about a hot Indian?
Yeah, I don't know. I really hope.
I'm going to prove you wrong.
I'm wrong.
She's going to be more sophisticated than Rose.
Really? I don't know. I hope I'm wrong, but we'll see. Any Galactica boilers, huh?
The well, it's not a boiler, but there is going to be a two-parter for 310 and 311.
Whoa,
but
really?
I don't know what it involves.
So they've already said that they're going to run the apparently the first 10 episodes and take a few weeks off in December. So
yes.
Apparently to leave us with a mini cliffhanger.
Right.
And then come back in sometime after the holidays.
Right.
With that. Now, what,
in January, right?
January. Now, any idea what they're going to just air reruns during the time that they're off or... movies or
don't,
what?
Don't they usually have specials, like special movie marathons and things like that, like Christmas, for Christmas and New Year's would probably be Twilight Zone.
Yeah, that makes sense. Or Jaws. They always throw Jaws into these holidays for some reason. Yeah, they got nothing to do with Easter, but here Jaws is on. But I'm kind of wondering that they should be running Galactica now nonstop now through the premiere on Fridays to rebuild the audience, you know. Get people more used to it being there.
I don't know what's going to be paired with the Stargates. I know this week... Hmm.